opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
WTBQ,
and good morning, and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fella. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning, and as I sometimes say, she joins me every morning, is my wife, Ann Fella, who's the Regional Director of Patient Services and Director of Quality Assurance. Today, our guest is someone who's been a regular. I'm still thanking you, Jay. One of the things that I do is I thank people many times after they've done something. But we have Jay Gumier as the director of the NHTD and Traumatic Brain Injury Waiver Program. He will be joining us this morning. Say good morning, Jay, to our listening audience.
Good morning, Jay.
That's what we need. When I was in my surgical procedure and I was convalescent, Jay was able to substitute and he was filling in and he did a superb job. But it's just great to have you in the studio today.
Thank you very much,
Jay.
Yes.
A&T Healthcare, we're a home healthcare agency. We have offices in Newburgh, Kingston, Mount Kisco, New Jersey, and New York City, and our corporate offices in New City, New York. We are honored at A&T. It is A-N-T. We had a guest on, one of my roommates in college, talking about he called it AT&T, and that gets me, but you don't excoriate a guest that's on or something like that, no. And I explained it to him like later on and that sort of stuff, but it's A-N-T, not AT&T, and we're very honored to be broadcasting every Thursday, and as I say, make us part of your Thursday morning. Our show, it's not controversial, contentious, or confrontational, but I always say, and it's going to be, it's engaging, informative, and having Jay Gumier here, it is certainly going to be entertaining. And
wow.
I think that's always important, that you're able to learn something and not be bored at the same time. We do accept any questions on the topics that we're presenting, and the phone number to reach us at is 845, area code 651-1110. That's 845, area code 651-1110. And as always, thank you again for making us part of your Thursday morning. Okay, A&T Healthcare, Facebook, be friends with us, like us. It's always good. We're posting things, talking about different topics and things along those lines. So I think it's something that is very good as far as being informed of things that are happening in the healthcare field, because we always want to make sure that we have our pulse on. And that's one of the things that is our driving force at Health Matters on WTBQ. I just want to tell a story. I know we've always talked about healthy lifestyle, healthy living. That's what we're doing. And we always talk about, the consumption of soda and things like that. Well, there's an interesting article that said that there's really been a decrease in the amount of soda that is being consumed. And I hope A&T might have, for Health Matters, I hope that we might have influenced it sometime, because we have talked about it on numerous occasions. But there was a study that was done in the National Heart and Lung and Blood Institute. And what they were saying is that it turns out that soda not only bloats us and ruins our skin, but it actually makes us gain weight in all the wrong places. And what they're saying is, and we're not just talking about the thighs and the stomach, but apparently what it is that the fat is consumed around your organs, the visceral fat. You have gained weight and have visceral fat from those who drank soda every day and gained most of the group. So one of the things is that it is linked to fat around your organs. And again, that could be very detrimental as far as the efficiency of them working. So I think that's good, and just keep that in mind. We always talk about
it. It's kind of interesting to talk about this, because I actually just started Weight Watchers again. I'm not going to lie, I've been paying for it for over a year. I just haven't been using it actively until...
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah. So
Fitness. Okay.
I have to tell you, I always tell people, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, but soda is my thing.
Yeah.
And it's the hardest thing of all the things I have.
Yeah.
Besides steak, but that's a whole nother thing.
Mm-hmm.
But soda to me is the hardest thing to stop drinking. And I know people say you shouldn't even really drink diet soda, because there's a lot of issues with that. But to me, for right now, this is like step one for me. So I'm not drinking high fructose corn syrup or whatever they put in it now. So at least the diet is not the calories, and I can step down from that eventually in the future. So right, that's where kind of I am in the process
now. No, I mean, that's it. I know it's interesting with the this is impacting on our friends from McDonald's, but I didn't realize that that's where the most profit is. Very inexpensive to have soda, and I know like Chili's and Applebee's, they were the first ones. Oh, you have free refills. Oh my God, free refills. That's great. That's because it's so inexpensive. So a lot of times they say there are McDonald's when they have those, and Burger King's little specials. What they're hoping is that you buy the, oh, well, give me a soda also, and then that will negate all the savings that you're getting on the food.
But, yeah, and it costs like four or five times more for the cup than it does for the actual liquid inside the cup.
In my house growing up, we never had soda. That was a special treat only for special occasions, parties, Christmas. Not even maybe Christmas. We'd get ginger ale or 7-Up or something, but soda was not something that.
And you were brought up in a totally different household. I had the most wonderful, loving parents. Let me preface that. But one time my mother said, my mother goes, I bought 5 bottles of soda and they're all gone. And then my father's response was, well, the next time buy 10 bottles of soda.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. But again, in all fairness to my parents and my father, all fairness, we're much more knowledgeable about the side effects of something like that. So we have to keep that in mind. We have to, keep that in mind that we're much more knowledgeable. We know what the calories are.
I had very loving parents too, but soda was not. and we had a well water, which not everybody has that even anymore.
No, I do.
So my mother would always say, "We have well water. Drink the good well water."
It's all clear. No.
Wow, things have changed. Yeah. Because now the well water is the worst water.
The worst water.
Yeah, but then when you have a blackout, then you have no water.
Because it didn't have the fluoride in it. That's so, right. We spent
a
little more time at the dentist. Yeah. And the lead and whatever.
I wanted to share a story. Last night I attended. It was called The Perfect Storm. No, it wasn't the Mark Wahlberg or George Clooney movie, but they were talking about the drug epidemic that's going on. They're saying it's a perfect storm in reference to opioids, the painkillers that are being used, and the heroin epidemic. There's a major epidemic that is going on in Rockland County, like all over. It's just something. And I went there and said, let me see it, and I want to try to get a show from it. But there were two people who had an addiction, and it was just something in terms of how you don't realize how it is. He said that after 28 days I was treated, and then I went right back to it. Mm. and just like how strong the compulsion is, and what actually happens. And a lot of times these are regular families. I mean, you see, his father was an attorney, and he had two other brothers and sisters, and they were all fine. But there were a lot of things, and they were talking about Narcan. Now, did you know that you can purchase Narcan? That's if you have an opioid overdose. The Narcan is a nasal spray that it can revive you, and you can buy that now over the counter.
Really?
At CVS. Yes, wow. That's something that came out. So anyone that has any kind of addiction, but I'd like to try to see if we can schedule something on that. I thought it was very good, and that really is what our segue is in today's show, is that we're talking about compulsive gambling, okay, which is an addiction, okay? There are many different kinds of addiction, but today we're going to be talking about compulsive gambling. And as I always stress, is that we want to keep our finger on the pulse. And one of the things that I was discussing is that the recent Powerball lottery, which was $1.6 billion. I'm sorry, one of the downsides of doing radio is you don't see it.
But all of us
had our fingers, our pinky in our mouth doing Dr. Evil from the Austin Powers film, that $1 billion.
Wow.
But what was happening is that there was so much people. We just want to talk, as well as we have the Super Bowl that is coming up in 2 weeks, and that also is the day where the most bets are placed legally and illegally. And I always remember this analogy, is they said that if someone has a compulsive gambling addiction, that the Super Bowl is one of the hardest days of the year, just like if someone has a alcohol abuse, New Year's Eve is the day where they have like the most stress as far as like what's happening. But the message that we want to do is that in health matters is that we're not saying, don't play the lottery, don't go to casinos, or don't use the scratch-offs, but we want to make you aware of there could be some signs that it could lead into a form of addiction. And one of the things that I'll say throughout the show is that many times what it is that with any addiction, I know, Jay, you can chime in on it, is that, you don't take one glass of wine and then the next day you become an alcoholic, or right. if you do a scratch off and you win, that gee, the next day, now I'm a compulsive gambler. It's very insidious, is that it goes in stages and it happens after a period of time. But I want to also talk about the probability. I think that we'll have a little fun with that, just talking about what the probability is if someone is to actually win something like that. And what we always want to stress, whenever there's an addiction or whenever there is something as it relates to a medical illness, it never affects one person, the person that's afflicted with it. It impacts on everyone. That's called the halo effect or the cascade effect. So you're listening to Health Matters. And when we come back, we will talk about the different signs and symptoms of compulsive gambling, which is an addiction. You're listening to Health Matters.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the five boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Hi, this is Sarah O'Connell.
And this is Jonah Treeblosser.
And we're the hosts of Radio Rotary, heard every Saturday morning at 11:30.
Each week we chat with your neighbors about great things happening in your community and around the world.
Radio Rotary.
Right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hi, this is Dan Castricone. Join me every Thursday at 12:30 for the Dan Castricone Radio Show. We'll take your phone calls, have exciting guests, talk about current events, maybe a little politics. Thursdays at 12:30 on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ. And welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller, the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Feller, from A&T Healthcare, the Regional Director of Patient Care Services, as well as the Director of Quality Assurance. And today is our special guest, Jay Gumier, who is A&T's Director of the NHTD and Traumatic Brain Injury Waiver Services. Today's program, we're talking about compulsive gambling, and one of the driving forces about it was that we had that giant Powerball jackpot.
Oh, we did? 5. I didn't hear about that.
I mean, you know what was so upsetting? That was the lead story of everything that was going on.
You know, the worst thing is the day after the power, or the day of, or whatever, I turned on ESPN2. I turned on, was it Mike and Mike or whatever it was, on ESPN2 on TV, and they were talking about it. And I'm like, really? This is supposed to be about football, baseball, basketball, and you're talking about the lottery. That's how you know that it's blown up.
And one of the things that I want to point out is that this was the first one, but guess what? We're going to have more, because what had happened is that the original odds, which was astronomical, was 1 in 175 million. Now it is 1 in 292 million. What happens is that they've increased the number of numbers that you're able to choose, which would increase it. So when you hear about this, I don't want to say is an anomaly. In fact, now they want to start adjusting. Remember, Ann, we saw that one sign that said Powerball jackpot, 999 million, because they weren't able to adjust it.
But they didn't have another box for the billion.
And I think one of the things, to put some perspective, you have all these things about your chances of winning it. And I know you've heard about getting struck by lightning, getting bit by an alligator. But just to give you I guess if you're in Florida, there's a greater risk if you're in Florida getting struck by lightning, getting bit by an alligator.
Yeah, no, there's not too many alligators around here.
Do you have any alligators up in Orange County? I don't know.
Maybe, you never know.
But I think what it is that, one of the things is that, just to give you an example of it, it's like flipping a coin and having it come up either heads or tails 28 consecutive times, okay? So you can just see how it is. And just to give you a perspective, and this is where we're concerned about, like, the slippery slope. We say the slippery slope is where people get too involved. But if someone spends $10 for Powerball tickets, their chances are 1 in 992 million. If they spend $100 on lottery tickets, their odds are 1 in 292 million. And I know, right, Ann, people always have like the office pools, and what do they say?
We had the office. I think every office had a pool. We won $36.
Yeah, but the expression is that, if you ever have a pool where you're working, make sure you go
in. You got to be part of the pool.
Because if you're not, you're going to be doing all the other people's work when they're retired.
You don't
want
to be there the next day.
I'm just trying to stress that people start doing it, so it was almost like, now it keeps increasing. I bet $100, why don't I double it to 200 because the thing is that much more.
Right.
But the idea is not actually changing. There's a real quick story.
I just want to state, Margaret, none of us would ever do that to you.
We wouldn't.
I want to be sure that the three of you know. Margaret, Tom, and Carol.
At least that,
definitely not.
We'd have a
cooling off period.
Yeah, we definitely have to.
And that's how. But one of the things that we're talking about is that people spend more money playing the lottery last year than on books, video games, and tickets. Where's Dana? Tickets for movies and sporting events combined. And, as I said, buying that is considered a form of lottery. But let's just talk about some of the things, about some facts that you probably don't know, about gambling. Why don't you – go ahead, Jay. Why don't you start?
Well, gambling, it's not a million-dollar industry. It's a billion-dollar industry.
Yes,
I mean, obviously,
yes.
The whole Powerball thing obviously kind of proves it. And Powerball is pretty recent to New York State. Before I don't know –
there's always a lot. No,
that's
you're right.
True.
You're
less than a decade ago, there was no Powerball or Mega Millions in New York.
And we had to go to New Jersey or someplace wanted to play.
And basically, New York said, all these other states are getting money from this program. Hey, guess what? We're going to jump on board
too. Needs the money. Yeah.
And it is what it is. But it has become like a $40 billion a year industry, and Las Vegas alone brings $10 billion a year by itself. But it's really common for people to blame different types of gambling methods, such as lotteries or casinos or racetracks, for compulsive gambling. But gambling problems are not caused by playing Powerball every once in a while.
Right.
Yeah. The reason for that is because, that's something that most people do when we didn't buy tickets until it got to.
Oh, yeah, and that's exactly what happens, yes,
but,
yes.
But Peter, you do play.
Regular, yes.
Twice
a
week.
Right,
yes.
But it really is, New York State has this big thing about casinos, and they don't want casinos because, the whole NIMBY thing, right?
Yep.
Not in my backyard, and there's other problems people say that are associated with it, and I'm not getting into the social part of it.
Yeah.
But in any corner store in your neighborhood, you can walk in and purchase lottery tickets, which is the same type of form of gambling.
No, and that's exactly true. If someone had an addiction with alcohol, you can't just, go on some island, but it's something that is readily available, and it's something that you always have to, pay attention.
Yes, absolutely. But gambling is not necessarily the act of gambling. It's the inability to control what you're doing.
Right.
I actually almost never play the lottery.
Right.
Peter does play. It's not a lot. Twice a week he plays on the weekend and stuff. And we do a scratch off twice a week. But we don't, that's it.
Right.
And if we miss it, we miss it. If we're on vacation or we don't necessarily have to do it. We don't feel like we have to. But people who have a problem have an inability to not do it. They have to do it.
Right.
It's like this self-control issue. So.
And also we know that men actually are more likely, this is from the Mayo Clinic, are more likely to develop a gambling problem than women.
Like, which is interesting because...
You know, it's funny. One of the reasons, I very rarely play the lottery. I mean, really horribly rarely, which is not a bad thing. But one of the reasons why I don't, like, for instance, we do a grab bag for Christmas, and, you know, everybody throws lottery tickets in the grab bag just to get up to the $20 or whatever threshold. And some people just do lottery tickets so that they don't have to think when they buy a grab bag presents. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I got lottery tickets. Or I play the Powerball. And every time something like that happens for me, and I'm not saying I have a gambling addiction, but I know what I know is that every time I do something in relation to gambling, before I even scratch off a ticket or before the bowls are even drawn, I automatically am spending all of the money that I'm possibly going to win. And yeah, it's like, yeah. I don't want to go through that every single time. And right. I try to do my best to stay away from it. Now, occasionally, yes, but I'm also the kind of person that I spend, you know, $20 in tickets. I get $10. I win $10 out of those 20, and then I'll throw that back losses.
That's what they want.
Okay, what is the definition of a compulsive gambler? Okay, as you said, we're going to go into some of the symptoms, but just tell, what does it mean by, I know, Ann, you were saying it about that they can't stop, but what would be the difference?
It's an uncontrollable urge to keep gambling, despite the toll it takes on your life. You know, gambling means that you're not willing to, that you're willing to risk something that you value, whether it's your savings, right, your paycheck, you know, your daily money that you spend for, you know, everyday mm-hmm. living, your home, your children's, you know, college fund, as they call it. Yep. And your relationships.
Okay, what are some of the symptoms of a compulsive gambler? I know, Jay, I think you were touching on it. Go ahead.
Okay, so some of the symptoms is...
But the thrill, right? You get
the rush.
The thrill,
yeah.
See, the rush I get is when I come to WTBQ and I broadcast on how that's my rush, man. That's my endorphin. That's where I get the rush, and it's all good stuff.
And that, for the record, everyone, that is not a lie. That is a God's honest
truth. That's right.
Peter's mouth to God's ears. Anyway, you know, and like, you know, what we were saying, gaining the thrill is a big thing. It's the euphoria of the win, but unfortunately that comes so infrequently that that's where you start to have problems. Right. And it's almost like endorphins, like mm-hmm. you get these endorphins.
No.
I won, even if it's a couple of dollars. Mm-hmm. I won, I need to try again so I can win again and win more, and that's where the issue lies. And you take bigger and bigger risks.
And part of it is there is a whole psychological thing. Like, I always remember I said the story is that one time I put $100 in the slot machine. And then in 10 minutes, I lost it. And what did I do after that? I put another $100 in. Why? Because during that time when I put the $100, I was up.
Right.
And I got that feel. And then it was gone. And that's all part of it. So they play into that. Yeah. I mean, if you have to get something. And there's the psychological component, how your body reacts to it.
And it's tough to say, I'm going to go to the casino. And like one time I was at a wedding around Turning Stone, which is up in the Utica area. Mm-hmm. And we decided there was like 3 hours between the wedding and the reception, which was so much time. So we, you know, hey, we're gonna go. We'll blow $20 at Turning Stone. You can walk in, walk out. It's like a supermarket. Just walk in, walk out. The door's open for you. And
makes it easy.
And we blew $20. And yes, I was up for a while, and then of course I was down again. And then you're like, well, what's 20 more?
What's another 20? And that's this is what I came to do.
And that's where you start to have the issues. And mm-hmm. we hightailed it out of there as fast as we could.
Right, and that's really something. These are like the foundations when it starts, and a lot of times there's free alcohol that's involved. And why is it free alcohol? I know we even talked about this health matters.
Keep you sitting there.
That you lose your inhibition. If you're trying to eat healthy, you shouldn't be drinking. Because when you drink, you just lose it.
Well, that's part of it. You know, you're increasingly taking bigger risks.
Right.
But let me just go over a couple of them as far as like some of the symptoms, okay? And as I said, is that a lot of times you have this preoccupation with gambling, and, you know, it's a way to escape problems or feelings of helplessness or guilt or depression. That's one of the things that they're saying is that a lot of times if things are going bad, if you're depressed, you might use that as a way of escaping, okay, and you're getting it. They talk about borrowing money or stealing to gamble, okay, and concealing or lying about your gambling. Those are all, you know, particular signs. That one of the things that I always find doing the research on something like this is that this is very similar to an alcohol addiction. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of these, and sometimes they do say persons with compulsive gambling, they may have other substance abuse, right, such as alcohol, and those are all things that play into it. They also say about, you start spending more time gambling. I know this was one of the things, if you're, they used to say this about with alcohol, is that, you know, if you're drinking more and enjoying it less, that's a sign that you're having a problem. It's the same with gambling.
Right.
You're gambling more and you're really just not enjoying it as much as you did.
Also tied into the alcohol thing, you know, it's one thing for you to recognize your own symptoms, but the majority of the time, you know, we're not talking to the people with the gambling problems right now. Right now, we're talking to the family and friends of the people with gambling problems, right, because they're the ones that are going to notice this. It's the same as any other addiction. The first step is for you to internalize your issue, and we're going to get into that later. But the symptoms, the noticing of the symptoms, starts not with the individual, but it starts with their informal supports, which is a fancy way of saying friends and family.
Right. And that's one thing. I know, Ann, you had already said is that, you know, a casual gambler, like they know when to stop, you know, they lose when they start losing, they stop. You know, it was okay, that's it, I'm losing. But compulsive gambler, he's compelled to keep playing because, hey, I have to recover the money. And what's very sad about it is that even if, let's say, they did win a large amount of money, rather than, okay, good, let me go.
Right.
They said, well, let me just like... Betting more.
Even when you win, you want to keep betting. Like when I win, I'm like, okay, I got to stop because I won and I need to like stop and enjoy it. So that definitely.
All right. I know they talk about the causes. Is that, you know, it's exactly the causes of someone who gambles compulsively. It's not very well understood. And like there are a lot of other problems that are involved, combination of biological, genetic, and even environmental factors. And I know. Even the environment, that there's a lot of work that goes into it, that if you notice, it's all the bright lights, everything is dark on top, below, or what have you. But as Jay said also, we have many opportunities. You can go to any 7-Eleven store, any liquor store, any grocery store. You shop right, you know, please, it's not even, and it's all going to be readily available.
And it's so much, it's just more everywhere now.
Yeah.
And you're right, more casinos, more... casinos, more online gambling, not here in New York yet, but I imagine there was recently a whole discussion about the online sports.
Fantasy football.
Right.
And what's going to
happen with that. And
It was taken out, but it could be put back
in. It could absolutely, as soon as they figure it out, it could very well be put back in. So.
Okay. And you're listening to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fell from A&T Healthcare. And when we come back, we will talk about the risk factors of a compulsive gambler and compulsive gambling.
A&T Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home healthcare aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. A&T Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. By working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. A&T Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric, high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. A&T Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, A&T Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi. Hi, this is Marina Case of the Red Shutters in Warwick, New York. Tune in every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. for The Style Show, a show about decorating, fashion, and fun on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
Hi, this is Dr. David Leach, the superintendent of the Warwick Valley Central School District and host of Your Schools. Listen every Monday at 12 noon to learn what's happening in your schools right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ weather.
Sunny skies today with a high near 30, clear tonight in the teens. Increasing clouds tomorrow in the upper 20s. We will see some light snow after midnight tomorrow night down into the teens, and snow likely on Saturday. It'll be quite windy. We may see a fair amount of accumulation with this. Still, the jury's out on how much exactly, depending on how much further north the heavy snow band gets. The snow should continue but taper off by Sunday. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salimo.
WTBQ, feeling all right.
Feeling all right, feeling all right. My name is Peter Fellows. You're listening to Health Matters. Director of Education at A&T Healthcare, and joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fellows, the Regional Director of Patient Services at A&T Healthcare, as well as Jay Gumier, who is the Director of NHTD and TBI Waiver Program, also for A&T Healthcare.
Peter, I have to interrupt you for a second. I was just listening to the weather report.
Yes.
Because I don't know if you heard it, but we're supposed to get a little bit of snow this weekend or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy to report I live in Kingston.
And I'm not going to get as much snow as you guys down here.
And I wanted to just kind of throw that in your faces a little.
A big snowball.
Well, because at some point, it's going to be the other way around. So, and usually it is. Usually it's
right.
Further away from New York
last,
City you are.
Last winter was so tough for you guys.
So I just, very happy. Three to four inches I can deal with. When Washington, D.C. gets 2 to 3 feet, that's when I have an issue. But apparently they like it because they don't have to be in session.
I want to make sure you know that A&T Healthcare, we are a home healthcare agency, and I want you to know there's nothing better than getting home healthcare if you have a knee replacement or a hip replacement, because it is in the home setting. Everyone here at WTBQ, they say, Peter, you're making a remarkable recovery, and I really have to thank it for the fine care that I received from A&T Healthcare. Talking a little bit about the weather, Jay, I remember last winter there were so many injuries. I know I always say this, is that so often if I do a trade show or something like that, and I say, A&T Healthcare, home healthcare agency, I don't need that. But, things happen. If there's some snow, there may be a skiing injury, ice skating injury. Even with just the ice, just plain ice, people will be slipping, and there can be injuries that could occur. And if you are hospitalized and you're discharged, that's really where the home healthcare agency comes in, because you're discharged from the hospital and you're getting the care. And I always want you to think of A&T Healthcare, because as I said, we service all of Hudson Valley. And it's your right as far as saying to the discharge planner, yes, I'd like to see you if we can arrange for A&T Healthcare to take care of you when you get home. So I always want to say that I'm a walking example, no pun intended, but I really made tremendous progress, and it was so much nicer to be in your own home. You're around your friends and families and things like that. So I think it's something that people always should remember, that home healthcare is here to stay. I always talk about the change in the healthcare delivery paradigm, is that now they want you to leave the hospital sooner. And that's part of it. I always said that about my knee replacement. I was in the hospital for 2 days. Oh, that was nothing. No, 2 days, that's it. Oh, no, there was a lot that was done. But it was really in the home setting where A&T was able to provide the service. So
well,
please.
I'm glad that you're doing well with the snow coming.
And thank you, Ann, again, for all the kind help that you've done to me. Thank you. And A&T,
no shoveling.
All the support
now
that
you've improved, I don't have to worry about
And now I'll be able
shoveling.
To shovel. Guess what? I timed it perfectly. Yeah, I'll be able to do the shoveling now. All right. Today's program, we'll be talking about compulsive gambling. We're talking about, symptoms, how to recognize it. But let's talk now about the risk factors. As I said, there's certain categories that have risk factors. I know, like as we were saying about, there's so much that's available now, and I think ever since they had that $1.6 billion Powerball, more people getting sucked into it that they might not have been doing it before. And I just want to make sure they have an even keel, that you don't want to start, doing your rent or mortgage money to put more money on the Powerball, thinking that, gee, this is going to increase your things. And that's really a lot of times that can precipitate to start. But let's talk a little bit about what are some of the risk factors of someone who can develop a compulsive gambler. And as I said earlier in the show, it is very insidious. You don't do one scratch off or play one lot. Oh, gee, now I'm a compulsive gambler. It's something that can evolve over time. Go ahead.
But that first time that you do it could...
and you win.
And you
That's where you get the euphoria.
Or not win and say, oh, let me try again.
Yeah.
That could be how it's
got to be one in here someplace.
Somewhere in that pile, there's got to be one.
I was, during the break, I was talking a little bit about, for those of you that have heard me on the show before, you know that I like to kind of bring pop culture, a little bit of pop culture into what we talk about. And I'm a TV junkie, and I have been for a long time. So I guess soda and TV. There you go.
There you go.
So there is a character on TV, one of the shows that I watch, that has a gambling addiction. And at the time, he's in recovery on the show, although there was a relapse at one point. The character's name is Seely Booth. And for those of you that watch the show Bones, Seely Booth is one of the main characters. He's an FBI agent. He's a former sniper in one of the Iraqi wars. Mm-hmm. And, he doesn't have any issues with drinking or drugs or anything, but his escape from his demons, I'll say, mm-hmm. was gambling, and it became a huge issue for him prior to the show's, time frame.
Right.
But then, last season or the season before, I think he had a relapse because he had to play a gambler undercover and kind of got back into it. So
got that feeling again.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, listen, I know TV is TV and real life is real life, and I'm not trying to compare the two, but it kind of brings this issue to the forefront. I mean, it's one thing just to see the number 1-800 gambler on the back of a lottery ticket every time you buy it, but see.
Any billboard, sure.
Yeah, but he did exhibit some risk factors. Well, one of which has to do with some kind of a mood disorder. Trying to, mm-hmm. you do things if you have psychiatric conditions, let's say. A lot of times people do what's called self-medication. And, most of the time, a lot of the time it comes in the form of drugs or alcohol, but it can come in the form of gambling. Like, the gambling takes you away from your issues for a little bit of time in whatever realm, even if you're in the, AC or if you're in Vegas or whatever, that's time where you're not thinking about the stressors that you have in life that are causing some of your psychiatric issues.
The problem is it doesn't eliminate it when you come back. Same with alcohol, they escape it. But the idea is when everything's there, the reality is still there and it hasn't been changed.
Right. So people who gamble compulsively often have other issues such as substance abuse problems, mood or personality disorder, attention deficit disorder, and oftentimes compulsive gamblers may abuse alcohol and experience major depression. So that's really what you're saying.
What about the age bracket? What would they say with the age bracket?
Well, it's more common in younger and middle-aged people. But
oh, so I'm out of it then. I'm out of it. Oh, well, I'm out of
but
it.
But I'm not.
Not to say it can't happen at any time, but am I still middle-aged? No, I don't know. Though
men are commonly more inclined to compulsive gambling, women typically start gambling later in life. So I'm not out of the woods.
Is that why my grandmother goes on trips to the casinos?
Exactly.
Every once in a while
my mother loved going to Atlantic City. Yeah. That was her monthly trip.
Same with my father.
It's interesting you talk about age because you talk about younger and middle-aged people who, I mean, I guess I consider myself younger, middle-aged, maybe. Let's say.
Well, you're way younger than me.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know if that's true or not.
I could be your mother, Jay.
But I do have to say that, unfortunately, that's the age where people don't have as much money. Mm-hmm. And they think that the one big hit will help them
for the rest of their time.
And that's why I tried to say at the very beginning that the chances of
So maybe there's another perspective there. When you're a little older, you don't have the same levels of responsibility. Mm-hmm. You don't have young children to raise or a family to take care of necessarily. If you lose your spouse, you don't have that person in your life. Oftentimes your home might be paid off or close to being.
Yeah.
So you have a little more disposable income.
Yeah, I guess you have more disposable income with oil prices so low.
And I'm not going to say it because I've been driving Peter crazy, but this year I'm going to be not 60, but almost 60. And I feel like, okay, I can be a little bit freer with things. I don't have that much time left.
You can't take it with you?
I have about 30 years left, but at least. But when you think about when you're a little older, you might feel a little freer to
right.
Do things that you might not have done when you were younger. But, and you had more responsibility.
And even we always talk about like...
And you could be depressed.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's where you're going to get... but even they're saying that if any of your parents, this always comes back to
the genetic component. Yeah, I guess we both have that.
You know, there is a thing as far as the a gambling problem. The chances are greater for you
not
to have it.
Not necessarily gambling
as you
problems.
Said, like this addiction is very similar to a lot of the other addictions. But this information, by the way, is from the Mayo Clinic, and I want to. Doesn't this sound like a really very good, what am I trying to say? Like someone who is highly motivated, ready, being highly competitive, a workaholic, restless or easily bored. That may increase your risk. Those are positive characteristics if you're thinking about someone working, is that they're highly competitive, workaholic,
But that's also ADHD. Being compulsive.
Yes, 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 yes.
Compulsive trait.
ADHD, and that's all part of the rush that happens, and that's something that people, as I said, it just builds up. What are some of the complications of it? I mean, I want to touch on some of that, but we're talking about what we've always said is that even with me, when I had my knee replacement, I'm giving just a small thing, but it impacted on Ann's life, my family's life. You know, they would come over. I wasn't there. The big thing about not being able to drive and all those simple things. But if someone has an addiction, and this is true of any kind of addiction, it's not the one person that it impacts on. It's all the family that's around. So Jay, why don't you talk a little bit about some of the complications or some of the side effects of what may happen?
Well, the difference between a gambling addiction and alcohol or drugs is, for the most part, and not all the time, but for the most part, the direct effect of alcohol and drugs directly affects the individual. It does remotely outwardly affect the family as well, but directly in the here and now, it affects the individual. The issue with gambling is it also affects, you're spending not just your own money most of this, unless you're a single person,
right.
Free to the wind. Most people that have any kind of a gambling addiction have family. They have spouses, they have children, they have parents, they have siblings. And money that's being used towards gambling, that's right. Usually not expendable, directly is now affecting your family and friends around you, especially ones that you're supporting. So there's relationship issues, obviously financial problems. There's been bankruptcy. There's bankruptcy problems in the world. Mm-hmm. There is some legal issues. There's imprisonment. I mean, not everybody gambles legally. A lot of people gamble illegally. So that could be an issue for somebody as well.
Okay, you're listening to Health Matters, and when we come back, we're talking about the treatment for someone with compulsive gambling. You're listening to Health Matters.
Are you an RN or an LPN, caregiver or aide, and want to be part of a first-class, full-service home healthcare agency? Then call A&T Healthcare at 845-638-4342. High standards of care from pediatric to adult patients need your TLC. You are dependable, compassionate, honest, and sensitive to the needs of others. Whether you are highly skilled or wanting to learn, A&T has the finest training program in the tri-state area. And if you'd like to be part of the number one home healthcare agency that makes a difference every day in so many lives, then call A&T Healthcare at 845-638-4342 today or visit at-healthcare.com.
This is attorney Bob Krahulik of the law firm Beatty & Krahulik, the lawyer guy on WTBQ Radio. Tune in every Thursday at 12 noon for the latest in legal advice and tips. We're taking calls and giving answers to all your legal questions and issues on WTBQ.
Hi, this is Stacey Lawrence of the Greenwood Lake Garden Center here with my co-host,
Kevin Sweeney of the Windermere Agency.
We would love it if you all would join us every Friday from 11 to 12 on WTBQ for Greenwood Lake Radio.
All Greenwood Lake, all the time.
WTBQ, feeling all right.
And welcome back to Health Matters. You're listening to Health Matters, sponsored by A&T Healthcare, a home healthcare agency. We have offices in New City is our corporate office. We have it in Newburgh. We have it in Kingston, Westchester, Mount Kisco, New York City, And we're here to provide the best care in home care. And as I said, an example of it, I know I'm preaching to the choir when I have like Jay and my wife Ann here, but I just want to say that that really is the way to go. And I've had firsthand experience with it, that it's much better to be in your home setting.
You're not just a director, you're also a client.
That's right.
Yeah, that's always a...
And you're going to be having some training classes soon.
Yes, right? Yes. Well, it's too late now for the new city class, but we will have one in Kingston and Newburgh. Just call 638-4342 or go on our website and you can contact us and we'll tell you when the class is. And as I said, one of the things about being a home health care aide or a personal care aide is even if you had no experience at all, if you have a desire, and again, I'm big. I always say this. I don't know about you, Jay, but I was originally a microbiologist, but you can always change careers.
I was a music teacher.
Really?
Yes. And now I'm a social worker.
And it's just important that you understand that, you know, we're looking for people that are good, that are compassionate, caring individuals, and that's what makes the organization so good, is that we look at it. And I will be the instructor. I know we had last week, we had a couple of people who were employees at A&T, and one was one of my former students. So it was really, like, very good. We're talking about compulsive gambling now, and I just thought, Jay, if you could touch on, you know, some of the treatments that they may have.
Well, so before we talked about how to determine whether or not a person has a gambling problem, once again, first and foremost, the person that has the problem is not going to be the person that says that they have the problem. It's going to be a family or a friend that's also being affected by the gambling issue. But I need to say this first and foremost, before anybody can seek treatment, they have to verify for themselves that they have an issue. Because nobody can be helped that doesn't want to be helped. And that includes all addictions. It's not just gambling. Mm-hmm. But the first step in any anonymous program is to internalize, to say that, yes, I do have a problem and I need help. Until that happens, nothing else can. Mm-hmm. You can't, it's one of those, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But as far as gambling addiction goes, you know, there's no magic pill. There's nothing that you can, that you can take. It has a lot to do with support. And unfortunately with gambling, you know, you need the support of family and friends, but these are also the people that you've hurt with money issues, right, as well. So, you know, there's a lot of atonement involved. There's a lot of, you know, I'm really sorry. I have an issue. I really need your support. And it takes a village mentality. You really need to gather around a person, and every time they have a thought of doing something gambling wise, no, slap their hand, whatever, doesn't, you know, do something. But that, between that and then once again, there's a GA, Gamblers Anonymous programs. Mm-hmm. You know,
I do have firsthand experience with that. When at the complex, they used to have meetings with Gamblers Anonymous, and believe it or not, the one who was in charge of it, I knew, or my father knew, there were friends. We used to go to like Lake Nanuet and a friend. And I always remember that, and it was really, that's where I know that thing was the big thing about when it was the Super Bowl, but they had like monthly meetings. And one of the sad things that he told me, and this really, if everyone can just hear it, is that there was a story that one of the person in his group, that he had not gambled in 3 years. He was clean. He's not gambling, has no compulsion, I know it's always there, but he hadn't done it. But what had happened was is that the family still resented him, right, because I guess he gambled away their college tuition, or they had to, you know, any savings that they had. And I guess they were still feeling, right, the repercussion. And that's a very hard pill to swallow, right, in the sense that, you know, here they're clean around, gee, I'm so happy you're not gambling, but, you know, you did this as a, right, you know, and...
Listen, we're not saying that if you're somebody who's affected by somebody with a gambling problem that you don't have a right to be disappointed, mm-hmm, and angry, or mm-hmm, however you feel. Everybody has a right to however they feel. But the best thing for you to do is to feel that way, express how you're feeling, but then also say, but I want to help you too. And that is the key.
Yeah.
Is that,
but I mean, like, I know the support groups are very good because they're people just like,
and they have support groups for families too.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Like,
yes. Al-Anon.
You're
all familiar with Al-Anon. Yes,
absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. It definitely is
And we'd like to talk about the myths and facts. I know this is one of the segments that we very often have on Health Matters, and we're talking about compulsive gambling. But and why don't you talk a little bit about the myths and the facts about gambling addiction and problem gambling?
Well, the myth is that you gamble every day to be a problem gambler, which is not true. Problem gamblers may be frequent or infrequent. Gambling is a problem if it causes problems. You know, if it's impacting on your, you know, everyday life.
Yeah, I mean, like that's it. I mean, even with, I know we were talking about alcohol addiction, but even they say someone could be considered an alcoholic if they get just drinks on the weekends and stuff like that. It doesn't mean that you're habitually doing it every day.
It's a myth that problem gambling is really a problem if the gambler can't afford it. Well, that's not true because excessive gambling is not just financial. Too much time spent on gambling, the obsessiveness of gambling, can lead to relationship breakdown and important loss of
friendship. Now, I remember Bill Benn, I know, and he had a compulsive gambling problem, and he kind of like blew it off. He did seek treatment. He blew it off. But basically, his line was, hey, this was a milk money. Like, I had the money. I was not gambling away, you know, the food and all this other stuff. But there was more to it than just that. It's not just because there are some people with their particular means.
This is a myth.
Yes,
partners of problem gamblers often drive problem gamblers to gamble.
Blaming it on somebody else.
So problem gamblers often rationalize their behavior, blaming others or their life situation on their actions, including what is needed to overcome the problem.
That's a myth that kind of is over all addictions,
right.
Not just gambling. I mean, alcoholism. Well, she drove me to drink.
Right.
You know,
right.
That kind of thing. It's not that's not, you know, just in the gambling realm, but definitely important.
Right. And another myth is if a problem gambler builds up debt, you should help them to take care of it. Well, quick fix solutions may appear to be the right thing to do. However, bailing the gambler out of debt is actually making matters worse by enabling them. And that,
right.
And
there was no consequence. That's one of the things when there's a consequence that you're more apt to do it. I want to talk very quickly. I know from the thing that I heard last night, but they said that if someone had a drug addiction, what they say the parents should do is call the police on your son or daughter, get them, because they said this way they're in the system and now we can monitor
them. We're protecting them.
Right,
correcting it, you're enabling them to not get better.
Right. And they have to bottom out. I mean, it's
unfortunate.
A lot of times it takes, you know, for all addictions, but including gambling, a lot of times a person has to bottom out before they realize that there's truly an issue.
Right.
You know, there's also another little.
And unfortunately, by that point, a lot of your informal supports or family friends, they've already
jumped ship.
They've jumped ship.
Yeah.
So there's really nobody there for you.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's. I also want to say this. I know, Jay, you talked about it, you know, during the holidays with the grab bags, but you should not give scratch-off gifts to little children, okay? This is all the stuff that you don't do that. It sounds cute. I'm guilty. I know we used to do that with little Nicole. Well, she's not little anymore. She was on the show.
Now she can buy her own.
She's not. But we used to do that. But you should not do that. That's part of it. You don't want them to start looking at something like that. Really, this has been a very good topic, and it's something. It's a very serious topic. I know, Ann. We do have some lighthearted things. I remember one time we left to Atlantic City, and I asked the guy who collects the toll, and I said to him, "Do people ever come here and say, gee, I don't have any money to pay the toll?" And he go, "Oh, every day, at least two or three people say that."
It always happens.
It's like we make jokes about it, but that's a sign that, you know, if it really is true, it's something that's very serious.
And gambling happens everywhere. I work in an office of at the most 10 people, and inevitably there will be three different football pools.
And that's the
Super Bowl pool, right?
Right. I know.
Are we allowed to say that word?
Super Bowl or pool?
Super Bowl.
Oh, come on, Carolina.
I always remember that was okay as long as no one makes money out of it. That was one of the things. I know it, when I worked for the county, we had the legal thing. We're just about out of time. I want to please remember to follow us on Facebook, share with your friends. Thank you for being part of Health Matters this Thursday. And stay healthy because your health matters to you, your family, and friends. As I always say, all the best. We'll see you next week. Say goodbye, Jay and Ann.
Goodbye, Jay. Have a great week.
And feeling all right.
Enjoy the snow.